everyone. Welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks for joining us. Today in the show, we're going to talk a little about post-emerge corn herbicides. Now, I realize your corn may not be planted yet, but before you know it, those weeds are going to be popping up. You're going to be ready to spray. So we're going to talk about that today as we go throughout the show. If you'd like to ask us a question, or if you'd like to talk about anything that's going on in your farm, you can certainly give us a call at any point, 844-44-AG-PHD. Again, that's 844-442-4743. You could also email us, radio@agphd.com, or send us a note on X, AgPhD Media, Darren Hefty, or Brian Hefty. All right, so to start off with on post-emerge corn herbicides, I'd just say we're usually talking about two main categories, dicamba and HPPD. Now, there are lots of combinations out there, lots of premixes, but the base broadleaf product that you are probably going to put out there is either dicamba or HPPD. So let's talk about that just real quick. If you're going to use an HPPD herbicide down, so that would be, I mean, there are so many of them out there. The straight products we're talking about would be like Callisto, Laudis, Armazon, Impact. But then there are also products that are premixed with those HPPDs. So I think about Acuron. I think about Resicor, Maverick, Harness Max. So many different ones. Just make sure you know what's in there. The reason why that is so important to know is because we don't want you to double it up. We don't want you to use it pre and then use it again post. You're more likely to have a carryover issue. You are more likely to have a weed resistance issue. So only use it once per season. That's our standard advice. So if you use it pre, you should not use it post. Now you're limited to dicamba for the most part. We'll talk about that. But if you're going to use, let's say, a straight group 15 like we do on our farm, use a full rate of Harness, Surpass, Outlook, Dual, Zidua, something like that, well, now your options are wide open. You can do anything you want post-emerge, doesn't matter. So I would say this too. When we talk post-emerge, there is the option of Liberty. And I realize you probably haven't done that. We haven't done that on our own farm. And we plant a lot of Smart Stacks and Smart Stacks Pro. In fact, that'll be the majority of the farm this year because the majority of the farm is continuous corn. I get concerned because, just like on our farm, I said the majority is Smart Stacks and Smart Stacks Pro. It's not 100%. And the problem when anything is not 100% and you've got a product that is basically going to kill everything except for the corn that has that trait, I worry about getting in the wrong field. And even our guys that work for us on the farm, they're like, guys, please, can we just use one thing on every field? Because otherwise, we're worried we're going to screw it up. And it only takes one time, and you got a dead field. That's no fun. So if, let's say, you were doing all Smart Stacks, all right, well, then Liberty, great option. And it's pretty inexpensive. Otherwise, like I say, you're left with this HPPD or dicamba discussion. Now, we love the HPPD. Throw a little bit of atrazine with it. It's awesome. If you also have Roundup corn, throw some Roundup in with it. It's great and cheap. So I love that. That's our preferred way to go on our farm. If we have a disaster for weeds or if we've used an HPPD pre, we're using Status Post. The only thing that I don't like, well, two things I don't like about Status. One is the cost, and that's the main thing. It's $20 an acre, maybe more. And that's even for the two-thirds rate, for the five-ounce rate. Full rate's 7.5 ounces. But anyway, 5 ounces works pretty good most of the time. Also, I say it's got dicamba in it. It's dicamba is not the main weed killer in there. The main weed killer is an active ingredient that's not found in anything else that you're going to use in corn, soybeans, or wheat. Difluphensapyr is the active ingredient. Totally different mode of action. Zero resistant weeds in the world to that we know of. So Status is by far the best broadleaf herbicide we know of, period, end of story. Okay? But I don't like the cost. The other thing I don't like is just the fact it's got a little bit of dicamba in there, so we always have to worry about volatility. So just be careful on that volatility side. Now, there are plenty of other straight dicamba products. You can use Diflex. It's got a safener in it. You can use Banvil or Clarity. You got lots of options there. beyond that, are there things you could mix with those or maybe use products by themselves? Well, sure. You got Tuff, you've got Bucktril. There are a few other things, but anyway, there are plenty of options out there, but I still kind of come back to, in a lot of cases, we're usually talking something that's got an HPPD in it or mixed with it, or something that's got some dicamba in there, and those are kind of the two main things. So anyway, we'll talk more about post-emerge corn herbicides throughout the show today, but right now, let's get to the Ag PhD mailbag.
It's the mailbag!
All right, first question comes from South Africa, and the question is, hey guys, what's your take on in-furrow biostimulant products? In-furrow products are really starting to become popular here.
Yeah, we have used a number of different products on our farm. We call them that whole space naturals rather than biologicals. But yeah, we're all for trying some different things on your farm. Now, I will say we've tried lots of things over the years, found quite a few that didn't work. But we have found a few that have given us some decent results. I guess one of the big things I usually talk to people about is don't spend a fortune. If you're spending $20, $30, $40 on some biostimulant, I'm going to be hesitant to pull the trigger. $5, maybe 10. Yeah, I'm pretty interested in trying that. And again, we've tried a lot of things and continue to use naturals on our farm in furrow.
All right. Had this question come in from discussion on drainage tile that we're having. The question is, why is it called tile, though? It's nothing like a tile. Well, the original drainage pipes were actually made out of fired clay, and yep, they were called tiles at that point, and that name has just stuck. And we see this a lot in history, that there are words that we use now, like dialing a phone number. Well, nobody has a rotary dial phone in the United States. It's all touch buttons.
Or, hey, we're going to film an Ag PhD show. No, we don't use film anymore. So, but yeah, those words have just kind of stuck around.
All right. Well, on today's show, we're going to talk about post-corn herbicides. And we'll be right back after this.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from farmer Rob Schaefer.
Residuals have become a big part of our chemical programs with trying to battle water hemp, and also mare's tail is our big one. It's done a real good job of controlling those. You don't have to, you know, put a bunch of gallons in your sprayer, cover a lot of acres that way.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Weeds rob you of yield potential, so rob them of the chance to grow with powerful corn herbicide solutions from Corteva Agriscience. Weeds won't know what hit them, but you will, because you can count on proven top herbicides like Resicor or SureStart 2 or the new game-changing herbicide Cairo to effectively control weeds. That way, you spend less time worrying about unwanted yield-robbing weeds and have more time to power on with your day. Learn more at PowerOverWeeds.com.
The hard-working, independent spirit of rural America can often be isolating. It's not often discussed, but mental health issues are real. Now's the time to lead by example, talk openly, and show that a strong mind is just as important as a strong body. FMC is proud to be working toward ending the misconceptions around mental health through awareness, guidance, and action. Together, we can uproot the stigma.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit MyBayerPlus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're broadcasting from the Morton studio today, talking about post-emerge corn herbicides. And Brian was talking about earlier, you kind of need to know what's in these products because you don't want to double up on certain things. And you want to make sure you get as many different modes of action out there as you can. So got a lot of folks who are interested in multiple mode of action products. One of the new ones out there is Cairo. We got Ron Geis on with Corteva to talk about that just a little bit and answer some other questions. So Ron, how you doing?
Doing great, Darren. How are you?
Good, good. Talk to us about Cairo just a little bit. We've had a lot of questions about this one. What's in it and how could we best use it?
Well, Cairo received registration a year ago and we launched a little bit last year and more so this year. You've got three active ingredients. You've got acetachlor, which your listeners would know as a harness or surpass, chlorpyrrolid, which is marketed as Stinger, and topramazone, which is marketed as either Impact or Armazon, depending on which company you have there. And the uniqueness of those three actives is in one package, you've got not only broadleaf control, that's contact and residual, but you also have grass control, that's contact and residual. And that's kind of unique in a single package that you're able to get in the marketplace.
Yeah, that is something we think about too here with these post-emerge treatments. What can you use that will extend your window of control? So not just knock down what's up today, but keep some weeds out for another few weeks longer. That's a good option. I think Resicor has kind of been thought about a little bit like that too. Am I correct?
Yes, Resicor has filled that bill quite nicely over the years and will continue to do so. The difference here, if you do have grass that's up with Resicor, you'll want to add glyphosate to be able to knock out the grass that's up. And that's fine. Most people are adding glyphosate anyway, or Liberty. The difference being with Cairo, think of situations where you can't use glyphosate, seed production, popcorn, things like that, where having that ability to knock out grasses brings an extra dimension that we weren't able to offer before.
Now, timing is another thing, and we get a lot of questions around this too. Okay, I put a pre down. How soon do I have to come back, and how big can the weeds be if we're coming back with something like Cairo?
So you've got limitations on timing based on the weed size and based on the crop size. And with Cairo, your crop size is very extensive. You've got up to 24-inch tall crop that you can spray. Contrast that with Resicor at 11-inch tall. But the weeds that you're trying to control, you also have to make sure they're small enough to control. And you don't want to go after a grass much out over 2 or 3 inches in height with a product like Cairo. So that's still going to push you to, we'll say a mid-post-emerge timing. Think of corn that's about 4 to 6 inches tall as an average. I mean, you can certainly go earlier. You can certainly go later. But that's sort of the target that we shoot for. Whereas our typical Resicor applications, we'll be spraying sooner than that in most situations.
Yeah, I think it's really important that we keep scouting. And I know we get so busy out there. We're working on one crop and then working on the next crop. And you got weather days in there and everything else. And I know one thing that we talk about here a lot is get started a little bit on the early side. Totally agree with what you're saying, Ron. If
right. If
we're out there at 4-inch tall corn, by the time we're done, it's going to be foot tall. By the time we get to that last field, a lot of times, and the weeds are going to be that much bigger too. So we're encouraging growers to look at multiple modes of action. Cairo is one of the newer products out there, and we've had Ron Geis on to talk about that. Ron, thank you so much. Appreciate having you on.
You bet. It's always a pleasure, Darren.
Got Tom Wood with us right now with Belsham to talk a little about Tuff and Tuff R. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Darren?
Good, good. You know, that multiple mode of action piece fits into a lot of what you talk about as well, like take the new Tuffer or Tuff R program or product where you've got a premix with Mezo together with Tuff. You got two really effective modes of action going against some of these tough weeds. How do you position that one? Ron was talking about if we can get those weeds at the right timing, we're going to have the best results.
Well, it's a long-awaited, I would say, tougher. It's a premix of Pyridate and Mesotrione. So we're positioning this similar to the way we've positioned Tuff 5EC. It's an additional resistance management tool. If you're having issues with control with your HPPDs, you're already, and if you're already using Meso or Callisto or whatever brand that you prefer, having a ready mix of Tuffer with Pyridate and Mesotrione is a good solution to be quick and effective.
Now, you mentioned the speed of control. That's been one thing that, that growers ask a lot about. They're seeing some of these products today take a long time, and it's tough because they sorry to use that word, but that these other products look like, I'm not sure if it's going to die or not, and should I be back out there spraying again? Generally not the problem with Tuff. Tuff, you know pretty quickly if it's going to work.
No, that's one of the things that makes Tuff so good and now tougher. You can expect to see results within 7 to 10 days. We've seen much faster, but to be on the safe side, you can count on 7 days for effective control. And with no issues with crop safety, even in seed corn, because it is registered in seed, feed, and popcorn, and no plant back restrictions with Tuff. So if Meso carries the residual, you don't need to worry about Tuff adding to your complexities.
No, I like that, but I'll say this, Tom. I've found a couple of things that have worked better for the guys using Tuff. More water, more gallons per acre, and smaller spray droplets. It seems like we've got a lot better coverage, and it's worked even faster. Yeah. What have you seen?
Coverage is important. It's a contact herbicide. We recommend nothing less than 15 gallons per acre. And you should have effective control with that. And I think most growers and the people that are selling and using Tuff would agree with that. Of course, optimum, 20 gallons per acre, but you can do well with 15 gallons per acre. And get the weeds when they're small, right?
Absolutely.
3 to 5 inches.
Yeah, smaller the weeds, the better all these products are going to work. We're talking post-emerge corn herbicides on today's program. We've just been talking with Tom Wood here with Belsham. Tom, thank you so much. Appreciate having you on again.
Thanks, Darren. Appreciate it.
You know, one of the things when we start talking about individual products, and I love talking about individual components because it's important to understand, if I do have a premix, what is killing what in there? What's helping the other thing? What things are antagonistic and what things can be beneficial when you put them together? So even like Callisto, I mean, Mesotrione, great product as an HPPD, but I'm concerned about, we've been hearing reports about water hemp resistance. We also get worried about carryover. So like even on our farm, we do not use the full rate of Callisto. When we spray, we use a reduced rate. Well, to make up for that, what do? We throw in things like atrazine, Roundup, Tuff would be an option, Buctrol would be an option. There are a lot of other things that you could potentially throw in there too. So you always want to be thinking about what is what in those premixes. And even like I just mentioned the Callisto thing, yeah, I won't use a full rate on our farm. And the reason why goes back quite a few years ago. It was 2012. It was a drought year. They claim that was the worst drought for us since 1937. And you know what I saw? I saw some white beans. I don't like that. And granted, it was just on some end rows, and it was probably some double up. We didn't have the technology then that we do today. I get all that. But nevertheless, it just made me nervous. We have dry years often. We are cold in our climate, and so I just worry about carryovers. So to me, that's a really big deal. So if I'm going to get a premix that's got an HPPD that I worry a little bit about carryover, I want to be careful on the rate, and I want to make sure whatever else is in there can make up for, hey, I'm going to reduce my rate of HPPD, but I still want great weed control. So anyway, these are all things that you got to think about. And I'll say this too. I often bring this up on the show. When I was a young agronomist, my dad said, Brian, it's not a big deal if you make a recommendation that doesn't quite kill a few weeds, but if you ever make a recommendation that leads to carryover, that's a problem. So we always think about that in our operation and in all the recommendations we make. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and Rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Don't get caught off guard in 2024. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from agronomy manager Nate Honeck.
We've seen tremendous weed control that was sprayed in dry, hot conditions with very little rain within 2 weeks after application. Very easy application. Definitely tank mix well with the various products we used.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
My mom's got a new Case IH tractor, and it can do it all. Bale hay all day. See in the dark with its powerful LED lights. Hook up all the implements. Shift like a race car, steer with ease. And it can also cool my juice box. Yeah, her Case IH tractor can do everything she needs it to.
Looking for a tractor that can do it all? Check out caseih.com.
Warning, high yields incoming. Upgrading your planter with Germinator closing wheels can increase your corn yields by 13 bushels in no-till and 7 bushels in conventional. Are your bins ready? Call Farm Shop MFG at 712-520-6051.
Tame tough weeds with a pre-plant application of Revitan, a powerful burn-down herbicide. Revitan drops the hammer on more than 50 species of tough weeds with great tank mix compatibility and low use rates. Learn more at helmcrop.com/Revitan. Always read and follow label directions.
Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications, all without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD if you have an agronomic question or would like to join the discussion on post-emerge corn herbicides. Got Jesse Grote with us right now with Syngenta to talk a little about that. How you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. We've been talking about using multiple modes of action, and I know, again, here's something near and dear to your heart as well. Get products out there that have a lot of different ways to kill weeds and to fight weed resistance. What are some of the options you're talking about in corn for post-emerge use this year?
Yeah, we're really stressing, you know, especially in the year we're having where maybe some of our pre's didn't get on like we'd like them to with the weather. You know, really stressing Acuron GT, you know, with the strong knockdown power and multiple modes of action, like you said, and also some really strong residual performance out of that, too, that we're going to need going into this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned that there's some corn in the ground that didn't get a prion yet. Now it's wet. Now it's muddy. And Are they going to get back there in time? And, you know, for some products, you can't use them if you got corn that's out of the ground. And others have got that flexibility, could go on either before emergence or after. And that's definitely something for growers in that situation to take a look at.
Yeah, that's one thing we've been talking a lot too recently is like, do we have to change plans? Of course, you know, we always advocate for that two-pass program that includes overlapping residual, but sometimes we're not afforded that luxury. And I think, you know, in a year like this, you know, you need to be looking at those labels, understand what you can still use. There may be something you can't use. And I think that's where the flexibility of some of our offerings really come into play. Now, Acuron GT, that's post-emerge only, starting at early post, but, you know, products like Storin and Lexar, Lumax, others, have a real wide range of application window, all the way from pre-plant up into up until post-emerge.
Yeah, Storin's been one we've gotten a number of questions on. Talk to us about that product. What's a little bit different there?
Yeah, Storin was it's a new product this year. It was registered last summer. What's different with that is there's four active ingredients in that. There's two group 15s. We're going to have the pyroxysulfone and the S-metolachlor. And then two group 27s are bicyclopyrone and and mesotrione, both HPPDs. And really what we've been seeing out of that product and really looking forward to is a strong length of residual control. The residual performance out of that product applied even early on has been really outstanding. And like I mentioned, the flexibility that comes with it as well, all the way up from an early preplant to up to V7, almost V8 corn, depending on whether you have your atrazine in with it or not. And there's tank mix flexibility with it too. If you need to get out there, like we talked a little bit earlier, if it turns into an early post-emergence and we have some grass or some weeds that we weren't expecting to be out there, really easy to tank mix in some glyphosate or some other products you may need to help control some of those emerged weeds.
Yeah, having that flexibility to add different things together and also to have products with lots of residual like that can be a really good thing, especially when these weeds just seem to keep coming all the way throughout the season. Talking with Jesse Grote here at Syngenta about some of the products out there, new offerings like Storin, which you probably haven't heard of, like Jesse was saying, actually got labeled last summer, but really getting its first full year out there and having quite a reception as well. Hey, thanks, Jesse. Appreciate having you on.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
You bet.
One of the other things that I wanted to bring up today, since we're talking about post-emerge corn herbicides, is it's a little bit of a challenge for me because I like to plan ahead. I will just say I'm making notes all the time, clear out a year in advance. Things like, okay, next year when we plant, we're going to do this different. And next year when we spray, we're going to do this different. And here's my plan for what we're going to use for fertilizer. And here's my plan for what we're going to do for this and that and everything else. So I love planning way ahead. On the other hand, with post-emerge corn herbicides, I always tell people, look, get your pre out there, get the corn planted, then let's see what we've got. Before we make decisions and final decisions on what we're going to use post-emerge, and I don't care what crop it is, corn, soybeans, wheat, dry beans, sunflowers, you name it. We need a plan on the pre, I get that, based on historical weeds, but post, I just assume we wait and scout. Now, the challenge with that is we want to be out there early. If we're out there late, that's a problem. We have to kill the weeds when they're small. Otherwise, they become very difficult to control. So what I'm encouraging you to do is be scouting on your farm, scout early, scout often, and try to get the weeds when they're small. But yeah, make your plan post-emerge rather than make your plan way too early, because you may or may not have the same weeds you always had. Every year, it kind of surprises me a little bit. There's always something a little bit different than I expected.
All right, got Josh Putnam with us right now with BASF. How are you doing, Josh?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
We're talking post-emerge corn herbicides, and I'll tell you where we're at right here in South Dakota. We don't have any corn out of the ground yet, but we kind of got to think about these things as growers put together these two-pass programs, trying to get as many modes of action out there as they can.
Yeah, certainly you hit on an important aspect there of making sure that we're continuing to stress the importance of layering those residuals, especially on those post applications, really trying to start clean, whether that's with some kind of tillage pass or a burn down type application. Maybe you have a residual in there, or you're putting that pre-emerge herbicide application out and then scouting your fields, as you say, to maybe come back with a product that you would need post application to really prevent these weeds from going to seed. In the case of these pigweed species, we got can produce 500,000 to 1,000,000 seeds per plant, really being proactive instead of reactive against some of these weed species.
So we're sitting on the sidelines here. We got rained out. We can't plant right now, but all our pre's are on. And I'm just thinking, Man, what a blessing this nice, easy rain has been for us that we've had in our geography. And I realize there have been some terrible storms in other parts of the country, and I feel bad for those guys. Certainly when we look at our soils out there, if we get a nice, easy rain and a residual, we're expecting 100% control out of these products, at least on the weeds that they're labeled for this year. I think it's a good way to start the year.
Certainly a good way to start the year by setting yourself up for success with that pre-emerge herbicide down. Depending on how things go, how quickly that corn crop can get to canopy will ultimately determine the length of residual that we can get out of that herbicide. But it certainly is extremely crucial that we scout our fields in case we do need that post-application option. You know, we have several different products available. Whether it's an HPPD or a Group 4 product like we have in being status herbicide to really come in and take care of. If we do have any weeds that escape, we can come in and clean those up. But certainly a blessing to have that activating rain with some of these pre's that did get out over the last week or two.
You know, with some of the treatments out there, there's some tank mix flexibility, and we're seeing growers add in a group 15 into a single mode of action post-emerge product to add some residual. But a lot of the premixes have already got a group 15 in there. Talk to us about that. With that early post-application, if we're targeting it early, it certainly gives us more time to catch rain on that second layer of residual that we put out there too.
Yeah, so when we talk about having those, like the group 15 and that pre-emerge herbicide, for example, we're really trying to attack weeds at their weakest stage. And honestly, that's that one growing point at or before that weed comes out of the ground. So you're going to do that with your group 15 chemistries, your HPPDs, as well as your atrazine type products. But certainly extending that residual into that early post time frame is helping. So in our case, Zidua SC, for example, by extending that into that early post timing, we're really combating against weeds that like to emerge over a long period of time, that being the two pigweed species, Palmer and water hemp. We've also got some morning glory species that can emerge over a long period. So by getting that foundation down, really controlling weeds at their weakest stage, one growing point, and then having that flexibility to go in with your post-application and another residual to get that layered product.
Yeah, it sure is nice having these broad-spectrum products that we always focus on the pigweed species, but getting all those other weeds knocked out as well is important. Hey, thanks, Josh. We really appreciate it. Stay tuned.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
Back with multi-year proven results, Torque drives performance. Unique to other biologicals, Torque can be applied with other chemistries. Use in furrow or side dress to increase mycorrhizal associations, enhancing root development. Learn more about Torque at thinkbiological.com or contact your local retailer and ask for Torque today. Novozymes BioAg. Think biological.
Right now at CNB, get 0% financing for 72 months on select John Deere compact utility tractors during our Go Green, Save Green event. Visit DeereEquipment.com. Offer ends April 30th, 24. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Get more durability for less downtime with Soil Warrior Strip Tillage from Environmental Tillage Systems. Improve fertilizer efficiency and reduce passes and fuel usage. Now that's ROI. Learn more about ETS at SoilWarrior.com.
Want a product that will give you nitrogen all season long? Then you want to try Envita. Envita gets directly into the cells of the plants, and it's easy to apply, foliar or in furrow. Envita provides the flexibility you need for your farm practices. Whether you want to reduce your nitrogen and maintain yield, or maintain your nitrogen and increase yield, Envita fits your farm. Envita SC formulation is OMRI registered. To learn more about Invita, visit azotic.com. That's AZOTIC.com.
Morton Buildings has served the American farmer for more than 120 years. From manufacturing our own building components to constructing your building, Morton takes pride in being the industry leader in post-frame construction by providing a quality building and exceptional customer service. A Morton is built to last for generations. To get started on your next project, please visit MortonBuildings.com.
Nothing but net. Win your soybean season with the fast knockdown and lasting broad spectrum control of Elevest Insect Control from FMC. Take on army worms, stink bugs, soybean loopers, and more with the maximized ratio of premier active ingredients for better overall control of more than 40 labeled pests. Visit your FMC retailer or elevest.ag.fmc.com to up your game this season. Always read and follow all label directions.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Brian Hefty along with my brother Darren. We are live in the Morton studio today, just talking about post-emerge corn herbicides. To wrap things up on that, add a few last comments. First of all, if you do not have Roundup Ready corn, your best grass rescue is Accent. There isn't a newer Accent out. It's called Accent Q. That's got a safener in it. So if the last time you used Accent was like 25 years ago, it's about that long for our farm. You've got a safer version to the corn, so Accent Q is a pretty good choice for grass. Just make sure you're killing that grass when it's real small. We do get a lot of questions about these HPPDs and their grass control. I would just say Loudus probably is the best of them, a little bit ahead of Impact, which is a little bit ahead of Callisto. I don't like any of them personally, but I do talk to some farmers and agronomists who go, oh boy, the Loudus gives me great grass control. Well, I wouldn't call it great. I wouldn't even call it good, but it's something, okay? Especially when you throw a little bit of atrazine with it. Even if it's a quarter of a pound of atrazine, that absolutely helps on that grass control. So just something for you to think about there. Speaking of atrazine, I like using it post. I hate using it pre. And here's the reason why. Very little to do with agronomics. It's atrazine is good post-emerge. It's pretty good pre-emerge. I mean, I prefer it post, agronomically speaking. It's a little better in the weeds. But the reason why I don't want to use pre and why I would suggest you save it for post has to do with the environment. We get really concerned about atrazine and leaching. So that's why we would say keep your rate to a half a pound or less per year. And then in addition to that, only use it post. The reason why I use it post is because think about when you spray. You've got even the crop will absorb some of it. Weeds are going to absorb a bunch. There are roots growing at that point. You have less rainfall. You have more sunlight the later you get in the year. So these are all reasons why there is a much greater chance that the atrazine is going to get used up or it's just going to disintegrate before it ever could reach any groundwater. So anyway, we're not too worried if you use it post or if you keep and if you keep that rate low, but pre, that's where we advise you skip the atrazine. All right, back to the post side. I would say adding a group 15 for residual purposes is nice, but we run into a lot of people who say, well, I want to get by with one shot post-emerge. I don't advise that. The problem is if you wait, then you've got weeds that are coming up and they are hurting your yield, I'll promise you. Then if you are when you are spraying that and it's one shot post, you're probably out there pretty early, stuff's pretty small, and are you really going to hold the rest of the season? Now, I get it. If you have multiple things in there, let's say you got a group 15, you've got an HPPD, you got a couple other things in there, you're like, yeah, I should be good. I got all these residual products. It's probably still not going to be perfect. I mean, it might be. Okay, if you had really low weed pressure, it might be perfect, but I doubt it. So I like great grass control. I like great broadleaf control, and I want it right off the bat. I don't want anything emerging, and then I want late season control too because I don't want any weeds to go to seed because I'm rotating my corn to soybeans. Now, granted, it might go back to corn again or alfalfa, but in a lot of cases, we're going to soybeans. And let's face it, in soybeans, you need better weed control. You want to go into that that year of soybeans with less seed in the soil. And the reason why is because we don't have great options in a lot of cases post-emerge, and we don't get great crop canopy with soybeans.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines here. We've got Lily Zoomer with us right now with FMC. And I believe you're out of Nebraska, Lily, and the weather has not looked great down there. Been some pretty terrible storms.
Yeah, no kidding. We were fortunate enough across most of the state, though, to get some good rain out of that. But it was really unfortunate, some of those folks and farm places and towns even that got hit with those tornadoes. So thoughts are with those families and folks as they kind of start to rebuild.
Let's switch back to what you said. The farmland, a lot of it got some much-needed rain, and what great timing when a lot of these pre's are out there. There's quite a bit of seed in the ground already. Got to be excited about that part of it.
Oh, yeah. Farmers that already have their pre's out there and some corn in the ground, they're really ecstatic about that. And, you know, it kind of slowed things down here, getting herbicide applications out as well as keeping farmers out of the field for a short time here. So I think that they're a little bit anxious to get the rest of the crop in the ground and get some other pre-sprayed. So it's kind of setting them back a little bit, but I think that they welcome that rainfall much needed.
Yeah, I agree. And you think about to get that first pass of herbicide out there, that's fantastic. But we're talking about post-emerge corn herbicides. A lot of guys adding residual control now on these posts. And I think about irrigated ground and dry land ground in Nebraska. It seems like most guys are looking for something to add to that HPPD or add to a dicamba application to really extend that window of control.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely, you know, when you talk about a product like Anthem Max, that group 15 in there is going to give us some good residual and is a great option post-emergence up through V4 and corn. So really encouraging guys to take a look at that. And I think with this rainfall, maybe going to push some herbicide applications back a little bit. I think it'll be really timely to be able to get those post-applications out and maybe put a little bit more pressure on those for the farmers that didn't get their pre's out or get planted yet. So.
Yeah, for sure. And it's all about keeping that nice, clean field out there till we can get crop canopy to close out the season. No doubt about that. You mentioned Anthem Max. Certainly gets a lot of attention. Got a couple different active ingredients in there to add some burn down on some weeds that are up. Extend that window of control with the Group 15 to get season-long control. Hey, Lily, thank you so much. And I definitely want to say the thoughts and prayers with all those farmers and people down in Nebraska that got caught by those bad storms. But really appreciate you taking the time today.
Yep, thank you, folks.
Got Catherine Klein with us right now with Valent. And, of course, we're talking about multiple modes of action products. You got the new Maverick out. Catherine, talk to us a little about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Maverick is our new pre-post corn herbicide for Valent. It's composed of Zidua, Callisto, and Stinger. Super great product, super flexible application timing. You can go all the way up to 8-inch corn or V6, whichever occurs first. Really love to add it in with atrazine too, just to have a little bit more of a burn down. But overall, just great product and super versatile on any broadleaves and weeds that you have in the field.
Now, one question that we get, I mean, obviously if you're spraying Mezo or Callisto, one of those products, oils, nitrogen sources, those kinds of things get added in all the time. What about when you have a combination product like this where you've got the active ingredients from Zidua and Stinger in there and possibly even some atrazine? What do you like to see added in there when we're spraying that post?
Yep, absolutely. So for our Maverick, we really like to see at least our side of things is we like to see atrazine pre, and then for post, we like to see atrazine plus glyphosate. AMS can be added when used with glyphosate or if you need to. But overall, those are usually the only additives that we like to see in there too.
Yeah, you mentioned adding the Roundup in there, and that is something to think about. We do have some burn down with the meso that's in there on some of the grasses, especially if they're really small, but Roundup is so cheap and works so well post-emerge on just about any grass species that really does add a lot. You know, as you mentioned, adding the atrazine in there as well, certainly something depending on rotation, how much atrazine you feel comfortable adding in there, but crop safety-wise, zero issues with that. What are you seeing for uptake this first year? I know there's been a lot of talk about Maverick over the winter.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been going really, really well. A lot of farmers that I cover in southern Nebraska, they're seeing a pretty good difference on water hemp and Palmer amaranth. It's been lights out when it comes to those types of weeds, and definitely cleans up some other ones too, like lamb's quarter and just about everything that you can think of about horseweed and everything too.
Yeah, the low use rate has been pretty nice as well. I know this is one that we've got some on our farm as well. We've really liked that Maverick combo with three different modes of action. Catherine, thank you so much. We really appreciate having you on. I know it's a super busy time of the year, so have fun and enjoy the spring.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You bet. Talking about post-emerge corn herbicide choices on today's program and taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back after this.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with three core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/Facebook.
Get uniform control in your fields with trusted, hard-working Lucento fungicide. Control the toughest diseases with a dual mode of action fungicide that consistently outperforms the competition and field trials. Lucento fungicide from FMC works overtime for lasting control to help improve crop yields. Talk about getting the job done. Visit your FMC retailer or lucento.ag.fmc.com for hardworking control in your fields. Always read and follow all label directions.
Here at Ag PhD, we're always looking for ways to support the next generation in the ag industry. That's why at our free Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships event on Saturday, June 29th, we're giving away more than 100 college scholarships. Join us as we head into the field for hands-on sessions covering everything from how to pull soil and tissue samples, ways to improve crop health, the importance of microbiology in farming, and much more. Plus, in our comprehensive guide to crop scouting, we'll explore both above and below ground in a variety of crops as we diagnose problems with insects, weeds, diseases, and anything else we may find. As we're giving away tens of thousands of dollars in scholarships to eligible attendees, this day is geared more towards students and young farmers, but anyone with a desire to learn more about agronomy is more than welcome. So whether you're a college student or just want good agronomy information, this is one event you won't want to miss. Come to the Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships Day, Saturday, June 29th on the Hefty Farm near Baltic, South Dakota. Learn more and register at agphd.com.
If you look close enough, you can see the hidden potential within your fields. That's why an agro-liquid nutrition plan starts with the crop and identifies the precise combination of primary nutrients while focusing on the support of secondary and micronutrients. So every nutrient is working in harmony for your crop to reach its full potential. Maximizing growth while offering lower use rates. Apply less, expect more? Precisely. Find an AgroLiquid dealer at agroliquid.com.
This is Officer Jones calling for backup.
10-4, location?
Graber back 40. Looks like we've got Palmer amaranth, kochia, some common water hemp.
Resistant weeds. Copy that. You'll need a good tank mix partner. I'm sending Tough 5EC.
Come out with your hands up!
Guys, we're surrounded.
Crack down on repeat offenders. Add Tough 5EC to your post-emergence tank mix. Learn more at toughonweeds.com. Always read and follow label directions. Tough is a registered trademark of Belgium Crop Protection.
Thanks for listening today to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Brian Hefty. Along with my brother Darren, we are live in the Morton studio, just answering your questions and talking a little about post-emerge corn herbicides. I had one last thing, and then we'll get back to the Ag PhD mailbag. Diflex and status. I mentioned this a little bit earlier that Diflex has a safener in it. Well, status does as well. So both of these safeners are there because there's dicamba in the mix. So Diflex is straight dicamba. That would be real similar to the old Clarity. And then there's a safener with that. With status, it's only got about, well, it's just a very low rate. So roughly we'll call it the equivalent of about 4 ounces of a Clarity or Banvil type product in the 5 ounce use rate of status, the standard use rate. So it's a lot less dicamba. But nevertheless, we've always worried about dicamba being a little hard on corn. And I know that the standard thing has always been V5. Okay, you got to spray your dicamba by V5 because the growing point's still below ground at V5. You don't have braceruts coming out yet at V5. And so that's been kind of the standard cutoff. But honestly, I'd prefer to have my dicamba done by V2. And you might go, what? V2? Why so early? Well, two reasons. Number one, then you don't have to worry so much about volatility. But the main reason why is because ear shoots are initiated that early in that plant. So I know that the reproductive stages don't technically start in corn until silking, but actually corn ears are starting to develop at about V2. So we like having the safener. Then you don't have to worry that, oh, Banvil or Clarity is going to ding my corn up a little bit, it's going to lodge, anything like that. The safeners are pretty good. I'm not going to say they're perfect, but they definitely help. So having Diflex or status, I mean, that's great because you got the safener. However, you still have a little bit of dicamba that could volatilize. So just be careful about spraying real late. Last year, for example, I would say I saw more volatility, or a lot of people just call it drift, out of corn than I did out of dicamba sprayed in soybeans. So be careful where you're spraying, when you're spraying. Don't just think about yourself and your farm and your weeds. Think about the neighbors too, and that volatility can still occur with any of these dicamba products, any of them. So I'd still advise you get your spraying done early, even though you've got a corn safener and on the label it says you can spray Diflex and status a lot later than you can Banvil or Clarity.
All right, and dive back into the Ag PhD mailbag here and get a fertilizer recommendation request. And Brian, I looked at this soil sample. I don't really know how to read much on it, to be honest with you, but this one comes in from Lynn up in British Columbia. He said, we had a soil test done for basically some horse pasture, non-irrigated, in the edge of a desert here in British Columbia. And our fertilizer company will not work off these lab results and give us a recommendation, wondering if you could. We're going to spread some horse manure back out there, composted horse manure for organic matter. I'm just wondering what you would do for fertility NP and K-wise.
I would pull some samples, send them to a different lab. I don't even know what test this is. Well, actually, it may say somewhere on here. There are a lot of pieces of paper. Print's pretty small. I'm not even sure what test they're running here. Darren just handed me these samples. Darren, did you see what test they're running?
Nope.
Like, yeah. So
nope, there's
like
a bunch of different readings for alkalinity, yeah, which doesn't really help us out on the fertilizer rec here in terms of nutrients to apply. But there is an NP and K reading there. I don't know exactly what.
Well, the numbers look good if they're right. 681, is that parts per million? Parts per million of potassium, 681. And 80 on, it says phosphate available, but as P. So in other words, I'm assuming that means phosphorus is 80 parts per million. At first glance, I think that's good, but I don't know what kind of tests they ran. So I don't know how good or bad that level should be. And then the other problem is I don't see any micronutrients. I would definitely want more information.
Okay. Got this one in from Costner, who says, we just planted alfalfa grass mix on Monday and we're hoping for rain. It didn't rain. Instead, it blew. and it blew everything with it. Should we just consider replanting now, or do you think possibly the seed would stay even though dirt was blown away?
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know. Without looking at it and giving it a good evaluation, it's really hard to know. So this is kind of the same situation as, oh, I just got done spraying my herbicide and it rained. Should I respray? Well, I don't know. In some cases, we just have to wait, see how it pans out. So if it's me, I'm probably waiting a little while. I see what grows where, and I see where I need to interseed.
Okay, I get this question in from Melt, who says, I'm wondering how much potassium is needed for oats. I would say the potassium is pretty low in the ground. Well, on the AgPHD fertilizer removal app, if you just had a yield goal of 100 bushel oats, it says it needs a total of 113 pounds of K2O potassium, and 19 pounds would be removed with grain, 94 pounds would be removed with Stover.
Yeah, but the thing is, for a lot of people producing oats, what are they doing?
I should say removed with Stover. We'll be taken up by the Stover.
Yeah. Yeah, taken up, not necessarily removed. Because you always have to keep in mind, roughly half the Stover is below ground. So what percentage of that potassium are we going to lose? I don't know. But I know this, if you bale off straw, which a lot of people do after having oats out there, I mean, we do, you're going to pull away a bunch more potassium. How are you going to know exactly how much potassium you pulled away? The only way to really know is just to test that hay, or I should say that straw, when it leaves the field, and then you make some calculations from there. So I guess I always want to make sure I have really good potassium levels, because we've always had this issue with our oats, lodging. I'd also say you can treat oats kind of like you do soybeans in terms of variable rate seeding. And I know you've probably never even thought about variable rate seeding your oats. Yes. What I would do is in those very fertile areas, in a lot of cases, it's the low grounds. So let's say like on our farm, we have hills and we have valleys. Well, in the valleys, I'd cut the population. On the hills, I'd raise the population. Because think, where does the oats get big? It's always in the valleys. That's where it has a tendency to lodge. Just cut the population. Make sure you have really good K levels, and that'll make a big difference for you.
All right. Farmer T has got a couple questions for us. First of all, how much phosphorus does manure have?
Really hard to know. You just have to test your manure. Because even like, okay, we get a lot of dairy manure here on our farm. We don't have a dairy, but we're sitting right now in the Morton studio on our farm. We're 1 mile away from a dairy. Well, traditionally, first year available phosphorus, they have 8 pounds per thousand. So I know that there's going to be some phosphorus available every year, but that can change. I mean, if they have, let's say that we have record rainfall this year, that number will be lower. Why? Because more water got into their pits. If we have a dry year, that number could be higher. And so even just for this one dairy that feeds the same, everything's the same, just literally rainfall can make a difference. So you always want to test your manure and test often, because if you don't stir liquid manure properly, then you're going to have inconsistencies.
Okay, next question he has, or she maybe, would a subsoiler or deep ripper create a layer of compaction?
Well, it can. So what you always want to be thinking about is varying your tillage depth. But before we even get to that, we got to check and see, do we have compaction out there or not? So Darren likes to carry a tile spade in the field. Some people use a penetrometer. Others will dig root pits and run a knife up the side. I don't care exactly how you figure out if you have compaction or not, but you need to test. And yes, it is very common, especially if you always till to the same depth. Odds are the fines are going to settle out down to that depth. So yes, I would be thinking about it no matter what kind of tillage I do.
Thanks for the question. And if you have a question for us, we'd love to help you with any agronomic situation you've got going on. Just send them to us, radio@agphd.com. Thanks for listening to our program today. And be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio. Now stay tuned for Rob Sharkey and Shark Farmer Radio.